This is the Afternoon Magazine. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. So glad you could be with us this afternoon. The fallout from the economic downturn has been extensive. Many people are struggling, but many people are lending a helping hand. This afternoon, we'll hear stories of hope and connection as we take a look at area organizations helping people in need put food on the table. The program is part of a series we're calling We'll Connect. It's a series on the economy, connecting you and communities in East Central Illinois with one another and with regional resources. WILL Connect grew out of community conversations WILL held this summer in Champaign, Vermilion, and Macon counties. Today, we'll take a look at the work of food banks, pantries, shelters, and soup kitchens in East Central Illinois. The need for help is growing. Here are a couple of things I heard at a community conversation in Champaign County. Children being served in various programs are asking to take food home. There are few, if any, complaints about foods unfamiliar to them, and nothing is going to waste. Now some numbers. In fiscal year 2008, the number of people receiving groceries distributed by the East Central Illinois Food Bank grew from 33,692 individuals each month. The average number of individuals served a month in fiscal year 2009 jumped by 10,000 to 43,524. So in fiscal year 2008, each month, 33,692 individuals were served. And in fiscal year 2009, that number jumped by 10,000 a month to 43,520. AM 580's Jim Meadows talked with some people waiting in line for groceries last week at a pantry served by the food bank Salt and Light Ministry. One of them, Robert Wood, says he's been trying to support himself and his fiancée with a night job that pays just a little over the minimum wage. But the Urbana resident says he finally had to seek help. That led him to Salt and Light for the first time last week.
I actually just found out about it recently. I've been kind of scrimping by on like plasma donations and my job for the past year to kind of make ends meet. And my 2 weeks ago, pretty much at rope's end, and I had asked my church for some assistance, and they not only did they help me out with some assistance, but they referred me over here.
Yeah, that's something I was wondering about is, you know, where people go first when they're doing this for the first time and looking for this sort of help.
Well, I was always told growing up that whenever you're in need, go to the church to find out to get assistance, and I finally swallowed my pride and asked for some assistance. It was pretty hard on me to do that because I'm a very proud man and I've always been an overachiever back in school and stuff. And
do you think, is it, you know, your own situation, do you think the economy is making it tougher for you right now?
It may be tough on me, but what's going on right now is what needs to go on in my life. I need to be going through these difficulties because I see it as a chance to use this situation to build my character.
Robert Wood of Urbana, he spoke with AM 580's Jim Meadows. Three guests join us this afternoon. They are Marie Brown, Jim Hires, and Scott Althoff. Marie Brown is a volunteer and recipient of the services of Salt and Light. Scott Althoff is a financial counselor for the Salt and Light Ministry, and Jim Hires is the executive director for the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Listeners, I invite you this afternoon to join our conversation with your questions and comments. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. We also have a toll-free number. That number is 800-222-9455. If you, a family member or a friend, needs help, we encourage you to visit willconnect.com. www.cbnnews.org/economy. There you can hear other programs and reports on the economy. You'll also find agencies in your area for guidance and counseling. We thank First Call for Help Decatur, United Way of Danville, Family Service of Champaign County, and the Community Service Center in Rantoul for their partnership. Again, the phone numbers, if you'd like to join our conversation this afternoon, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Scott, Jim, Marie, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us this
afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
We just heard a man at Salt and Light talk about finding himself and his fiancée in need and asking for help. He also says, well, times are tough. They'll come through. And this was notable, I think. He has a job, but it's not enough. How many working people are seeking help? And is this something that we haven't seen before? Scott, you're nodding.
Yeah, it's very common. A lot of the clients that we see at Salt and Light are we call the working poor, where you know the average wage in Salt and Light falls below their ability to be able to pay the rent and mortgage. Living in a university town, rents are a little bit higher than it would be if the university wasn't here. And so the average wage is a little bit on the low side for or to make all those ends meet. So a lot of the folks at Salt and Light, someone in their family has a part-time job at least or working full-time, but underemployed.
We have found that in households visiting pantries, in 40% of the cases, there's at least one working adult in the family. And that means that they're not making enough income. The fact that Scott points out, income is a driving factor. We look at 185% of poverty. Poverty is a little, roughly $22,000 a year for a family of four. And if you're at 185%, you are living on the edge. You are in a possibility of falling victim to poverty. And I like to refer to that as a circumstantial poverty. One single event can push you down, and you're back in a situation, such as the gentleman who was visiting Salt and Light, that I'm here.
Marie, how did you come to work as a volunteer at Salt and Light?
Well, first of all, I was among those people who needed help. So I started coming there. And as I started coming there and they were helping me, I in turn decided, well, if they can help me, what can I do to help them? Mm-hmm. So I asked them, do they need any type of help? And they said they accept volunteers. And I became a volunteer, and I've been volunteering there for about 4 years now, 4 years.
Yeah. That's terrific. I think one of the things that I've learned through the process that we've been going through here at WILL this summer is all the people that care and that are out there making a difference. So, Scott, maybe you would tell us a little something about the mission and the work of Salt and Light.
Well, we've been around for five and a half years now. We meet people's needs. We share the love of God by meeting people's needs, and that's our ultimate goal, is to help them meet some physical needs, food, clothing. And right now we see anywhere from about 250 families every Wednesday to come out for food. And during a week, every Monday and Wednesday, we're open from 1 to 5 for food, for clothing assistance, and also some household items. On a typical week, we see over 2,500 articles of clothing that leave our facility. So there's a lot of things going on, a lot of people in and out of Salt and Light.
Okay. Now I'm going to turn to Jim Hires and ask you some basic questions here. First of all, maybe you tell us something about the relationship between the East Central Illinois Food Bank and an organization like Salt and Light. And then let's cover some other basics, and maybe we can try it and do it all at once here. You know, how large an area do you serve? How many pantries, kitchens, shelters do you serve? Where does the food come from? What kinds of food are you able to offer area agencies, pantries, kitchens, and shelters?
Well, our area is we're part of a large network of food banks throughout the United States and Illinois. There are about 210 food banks, part of Feeding America, used to be called America's Second Harvest. And those members in Illinois, there are 8 food banks in Illinois, and we divide the state up into regions, and we have the East Central Illinois region, or Eastern Illinois region, which covers 14 counties, from Iroquois County in the north all the way to Clay County in the south. That's a little over 8,000 square miles. In our particular 14-county region, we have 260 agencies and programs. Those are pantries, soup kitchens, shelters, and after school and other kinds of snack programs. We serve, you mentioned, about 43 to 44,000 people a month, which is growing almost double from what it was 4 years ago, which was about 22 or 23,000 then. And we do that through acquisition of donated food and purchased food, a combination of both, of all those. We receive our food primarily from the donated food market. Still the largest single portion of the food comes from there. When I came to the food bank 4 years ago, we were getting about 65% of the food from the donated food market. Donated food market being manufactured food markets such as Kraft, ConAgra, General Mills, those kinds of organizations, the manufacturers. And we leveraged that through the national organization. And we got what's called salvage product. That was product that was really not sellable but was still good. Over the years, that product availability has declined dramatically. And not through any fault of anybody's except greater efficiency on the part of manufacturing, more safety-conscious practices within manufacturing so that there's not as damaged goods, that type of thing. But the need has continued to grow, so we've had to supplement that food through other means, and one of those is purchased food, and I'll talk about that in a moment. The other large portion comes from the Federal Commodity Program, which through the USDA, and it's called TFAP. Temporary Emergency Food Assistance Program. It's a great program, and it was just renewed this last year when the Farm Bill was renewed. And at one point last year, for example, we had 13% of our food came through that program. This year, it's close to 30%. It's grown that much in a year. That happened because they did pass the Farm Bill, and it renewed that program. There were more money, and then the current administration did pump more money into the program, and more food is available. The rest of the food is actually physically purchased, and we're very fortunate to have a purchased food program. Some food banks don't, where we actually go out and buy food, we hope at a really, really good wholesale price, so we can pass that on to our pantries. That way they get more of a nutritionally dense food at a much lower cost. Agencies get food free from us, except for a purchased product. They do pay, however, it's called a maintenance fee, and that's a delivery charge and a maintenance charge to us to keep our trucks, et cetera, going. And the average on that is about 10.5 cents a pound. To put that into perspective, a box of cereal at the grocery store is about $3.75.
Right.
A pantry can secure that for us for 17 cents. So they can stock up their shelves and pass that on. We literally save the pantries thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars each month.
Yeah. Marie Brown, you've been working now as a volunteer at Salt and Light for 3-4 years, you said.
Mm-hmm.
What changes have you seen over that period of time? Have you seen the need grow? And from your experience, talk about that with us.
It has grown very much. There's a lot of people that come that know you volunteer there, and when they see you on the street, they ask you, do you guys still give away food? I have a friend. It goes from hand to hand. It's just one person tells another one. And I even have became a proxy myself. There are elderly people who can't come that's in need, that it's a sheet we get that's called a proxy sheet that they have to fill out and sign, and you yourself sign, and I deliver the food to them when I leave from there. So it's a great need out there. It's young, old. It doesn't matter how old you is. We have young mothers these days. You know, we have a lot of young mothers, and young mothers are not experienced as they should be on how they buy their food and save, you know, let it go out throughout the month. So they have to come out to a pantry. And if I know young mothers that need help, I let them know, you know, about Salt and Light and the days is open. And if I'm available to help them get it to where they need to take it to, then I will do that also.
And someone who comes into Salt and Light and says, I need some help with some food. I got some kids at home. They're hungry. What kinds of things do they walk away with? What's in that box?
Breakfast food. There's we have meat sometimes. There's chicken. There's, canned goods, corn, green beans. They even have, every now and then, they have little things for kids, like the little straws milk straws. You pour them in your milk and you stir
okay.
it up.
Okay, yep, gotcha.
Put canned potatoes, beef stew. I'm trying to think what else.
It probably
it bread.
Just, yeah, depends. Maybe
yeah, it depends on also what's coming in that week that sure. we get to also. So it kind of changes from time to time. You know, it may not be the same yeah. type of canned good this next week or whatever. They also have bread. And if we have vegetables in, they get vegetables, lettuce, tomatoes, whatever may come in that week. So they come out with a pretty good deal. It's like going almost to the grocery store and getting what you need, except you have to get what's there and what we have in stock.
And what kind of difference does this make in people's lives that you know?
A great difference. People say, you know, that if it wasn't for Salt and Light, they don't know what they would do. This is what you hear from people. I'm so glad that Salt and Light said, we really thank you all for this. We thank every volunteer that's there. We thank the people who run it because we appreciate what you guys do for us. And we let them know we don't have a problem with doing it and we enjoy you coming. And if you can continue to help in any other way,
yeah.
Ask us.
Scott, do you have to be a Christian to take advantage of
no,
the Salt and Light
No, we see
services?
All walks of faith or no faith at all. Any ethnic group, doesn't matter. Anyone can receive food. There's no questions asked. And it's a pleasure to be able to serve people and give them hope because, there's a lack of hope in some of the communities in Champaign County. And if we can give them that hope back, if you have food on the table, you could survive till tomorrow.
Right.
You can worry about your
right.
bills tomorrow. But if you can eat
right.
and you're not hungry, there's a lot you can do.
Yeah, we'll get through this.
Yes.
Okay. I want to listen. Have us listen to another person Jim Meadows spoke to last week at Salt and Light. James Busby is a Champaign resident who recently had hip replacement surgery, and he hopes to return to work next month. Good. Mm-hmm. Salt and Light is one of the places where he goes in order to make the money he has last a little longer.
Well, it's mainly myself. I'm divorced, and I've been disabled, going through some tough times. And, this is one outlet I use to find things that I need. There's other places like Salvation Army. There's the Vineyard. Salvation Army offers a list of places where you can get donations for food and clothing. It does take a little work, but the time's worth it if it helps put food on the table. And, a lot of times it's not but a couple of paychecks that separate most people from needing help and not needing help. I've come here for just to Salt and Light several months, but I've went to the Vineyard for probably 6 months. And my own church, which is University Place Christian Church, they've helped out a lot. They've got a food pantry also. It's not as large as some of the others, but it's still a good place to go. There's a lot of places out there to get help. It's just a matter of navigating the maze to get those kind of things.
What's it like when you're doing it for the first time?
It's kind of like stumbling around in the dark because you don't know exactly where to go or what to get. And I would suggest to most people, the Salvation Army has a good list of places to go, which makes it a lot easier to get to those organizations because there's a lot of different times and a lot of things you have to do ahead of time. Like here, they've changed it to where you have to come in the morning to get a number. And, so there's certain regimens you have to do to get the things you need to get. But there's, if you don't have the money, then you've got to do the work one way or the other.
James Busby of Champaign. This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. The fallout from the economic downturn has been extensive. Many people are struggling, but many people are lending a helping hand as well. This afternoon, we're hearing stories of hope and connection as we take a look at area organizations helping people in need put food on the table. Three guests are with us this afternoon. Marie Brown is a volunteer and recipient of the services of Salt and Light Ministry. Scott Althoff is a financial counselor for Salt and Light. And Jim Hires, also with us this afternoon. He's the executive director for the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Listeners, you can join us this afternoon with questions, comments, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455. Thoughts from the three of you on what we heard there in that story?
That's very typical of the people we see in and out. We'll see people come in and they'll be gone for a few weeks and they'll be back. And that's very typical, story we've heard. And everyone that comes to Salt Night has a story. That's one of the things I like about working and serving with people is just hearing their stories. And everyone is wants to share their story.
Yeah. And Jim Hires, as an organization that serves so many, you and your staff know the extent very well of the need across the region. Does this story resonate with you? Is this the kind of a story that you hear your staff come back with?
This story is repeated in our 14 counties. And I think the thing that is so good about listening to this particular story is that the way that access was provided for the service. We have a lot of communities, particularly in our rural areas, where it's not as easy to find the resources. We have one county in particular that has one food pantry that serves the entire county. And so we have to work very, very hard with those outlying communities because you can't get into your car and drive and pick up food necessarily mm-hmm. when the price of fuel is up or you have a car breakdown. And the other thing that struck me is how that gentleman felt about the dignity in which he was treated. And I think that is a very, very big component. And when we work with all of our pantries in our area, we talk about those things in training pantry workers that people... It's very tough for some time to come for that first time. It's mm-hmm. very, very difficult. A story that I like to share is that we have a pantry, and I won't name the county or the community because it doesn't resonate well, that had a pantry that was doing quite well, and another group came to us and said, we need to open up another pantry. And we said, well, there's not a need in your community. You've got a small town. And he said, but do you know where they line up on the street? Outside and on Main Street and people drive mm-hmm. by and they've turned their backs. And so we went into that community and made some changes and it just changed the whole attitude of the pantry and the people within the community because it is the thing about dignity. And I think that resonated well in that story.
Yeah. One of the things that he said, Mr. Busby, was the challenge people may face as they decide it's time I got some help. That's the responsible mm-hmm. thing to do. He says, you know, it's kind of like navigating a maze. Mm-hmm. And here I want to mention that there are people in organizations that can help with this. Our partners this summer, First Call for Help Decatur, United Way of Danville, Family Service of Champaign County, and the Community Service Center in Rantoul are great places to begin. Mm-hmm. Also, you'll find these agencies and others listed at our website, willconnect.org/economy. Now, that said, Scott and Marie, other than assistance with food, and Scott, you mentioned clothing, mm-hmm. what other kind of help are people looking for? And how do you, as people come to you and ask you, where can I find help? How do you guide them?
Well, obviously, my job description is financial counselor. So I meet with families, with single moms, single dads, and try to get them on a budget. Obviously, with limited resources, you have to manage those resources wisely. And there's businesses here in town that prey on folks that don't manage their money well. And so I'm trying to educate people to use what limited resources they have to be better to use those and stretch the dollar further. So that's what that's my job description at Salt Night, kind of a educator, both one-on-one counseling, but also do classes in the area as well to help educate folks. Like I have a class at the Salvation Army where I meet with the men's shelter and got some of the guys going through the financial literacy class.
Okay. Marie?
As far as when they, other than food, the stuff that's on the floor that we have,
Well,
usually when most people come in or they find out, I also let them know, you know, we have other things, anything on this floor. Because when people don't know when they come in, they look at it and they'll walk up and say, how much is that? And then we have to let them know, nothing in here has a price on it. It's free. If you need it and you want it, you're welcome to it. So we also let them know that there's whatever out there, couch, chair, clothes, anything that is donated that can be used that they need, they're welcome to have. And so usually it's like word of mouth. When you tell one person, they kind of tell somebody mm-hmm. else and tell somebody else, and they come in and check and see what's there to be gotten or that they could use to get.
Are people also asking for other kinds of assistance? I'm thinking maybe legal assistance or.
We get calls. I answer the phone at Salt and Light. We get calls, probably half a dozen or so a week, for rental assistance and utility assistance. And there's not a lot of places in Champaign County that provide those things. There's a LIHEAP program. There's some churches that provide limited rental assistance, but there's not a lot of places I can funnel folks to for those types of services.
Okay. One of the things we heard in our community conversations in Danville and in Rantoul is that people move in those communities. People are moving from because of the housing situation, for example, in Champaign, Urbana. It's pretty tough. Mm-hmm. It's expensive. So people are moving, and they're moving to find work. They move to find affordable housing. Does that affect your work in helping people with food and clothing?
No, not really. Okay. In a sense, it doesn't, because I guess once they know it's there and it's the place they can come and get needs from, a lot of people rely on Salt and Light. A lot of people rely on it. It's like when they don't have nowhere else to go, they know they just can come here, and hopefully what they need is at Salt and Light, whether they're in situations. And they do come in and ask questions other than what we provide there. And if we know a place that may help them with the situation they're in, we refer them to it. But other than that, no, I don't think it does.
It can be difficult moving to meet new community because you don't know the resources.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hard to find where to start. That's why I like the first call for help.
Yeah.
Because that you can at least call them and they'll answer your questions and kind of point you in the right direction.
Tell us what first call for help is all about.
It's a number you can call here in Champaign County, I believe, as well as when you mentioned earlier, Celeste, that people call that number and they will refer you to different places. If you need rental assistance, here's an organization that has helped with that before. If you need food, here's a list of food pantries you can call. If your house burned down, here's the Red Cross, or here's this organization that can provide you with furniture and a place to stay, things like that.
Yeah. Jim Hires, the counties that you serve or the communities that you serve where you're distributing food to, has this mobility affected demand in a community like Rantoul and a community like Danville?
It definitely has, particularly in areas that you see an upsurge of people moving in, Danville particularly, and I think in some cases Rantoul, for the reasons you cite. Mm-hmm. And Scott's right, it's a matter of hooking up resources. We did a study in Champaign that lasted about a three-year program called the Alleviate Hunger Project with the United Way, where we actually mapped the service gaps within this county for emergency food. And that program was so successful that we are now trying to replicate that study and that program in other rural counties to see how we can alleviate the finding of resources for people. That is the biggest single complaint we get from our rural areas is all of a sudden they get a strain on their resources that they're not capable of handling. And we have to help them find that extra food.
Yeah. Service gaps. What are you talking about?
Service gaps, it's like food deserts that exist where there are not a lot of grocery stores. There may be a mart at the local gas station, but there's not a full grocery store, and I don't have a vehicle, and the nearest grocery store is 35 miles away or 20 miles away. And in our case, the emergency food program, and I mentioned the one county that has just one food pantry. How do those people get served if they do have a need? They may call their church and say, "Well, you can go to the pantry in such and such," and they'll say, "Well, I can't get there."
Mm-hmm.
So we want to replicate that study in other counties, because then we work with those pantries, such as Salt and Light and Vineyard and the Northern Champaign County Community Service Center, that have a large base of people they work with on how they get those things done, and we do best practices and best efficiencies in those other pantries.
Yeah. What could we be doing, those of us who maybe had the means or who are living in rural communities, what could we do to step up and lend a hand? Are there things that we could be doing?
Well, in our case, we have some alternatives that we offer, mm-hmm. and one of them is that we have a mobile food pantry program. And we literally put between 5,000 and 9,000 pounds of food on a truck, and we delivered. I like to call it a parking lot pantry. We can literally set it up in a parking lot and distribute food into two and a half hours. We go to rural communities that have no pantries. Several occasions, I got one community that we're there about once a quarter, and we can meet the need that way. So people can organize different ways. You have to be creative, and we have some creative solutions. But we. People in the community to step up and say, we want that to happen. And if we find that, we'll seek those people out ourselves if we get the word that somebody wants to do something.
Yeah. One thing, Neith, about working with the food pantry is people always ask, you know, what can we do to help? Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, would we do a food drive or do we donate money? We say, well, you know, if you donate money for food, for every $10 you donate, we can buy $100 worth of food from the food bank. And so if people want to help with the food pantry program, find the local food pantry they want to support, give them money, and they can purchase from the food bank what they need at a much lower cost. And Your dollar's going to be stretched so much further.
Yeah. Jim, give us the example again of the cereal.
Well, Scott's right. For every dollar we get, we can stretch that into $10 worth of food ourselves. So a pantry who does business with us is one of our members. If they bought cereal at the local store, would pay about $3 and change, $3.75, you'll get that for about 17 cents. You can get a case of granola bars for $2.18, and that value is about $138.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but I think the statistics I heard is that we can feed a pantry can feed a family of four for $15 a week.
That's about right.
Yeah, so $15 a week, we can feed a family of four. So it doesn't take all that many resources. It's just getting to the pantry.
This is at the Afternoon Magazine. We're talking this afternoon about area organizations helping people in need put food on the table. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you're invited to join us this afternoon with questions, comments. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. Toll-free 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Our guests this afternoon, Scott Althoff, financial counselor for Salt and Light, Marie Brown, a volunteer at Salt and Light, Jim Hires, executive director for the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. Let's take a call now from a listener in Paw Paw on line 4. Good afternoon. Line 4? Hold on. We got you here. There you are. Hi.
Okay. I'm slipping.
Okay. No, it was on our end. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. You never know with my phone. I was going to say, in my neck of the woods, our neighbors, we have a lot of people that are unemployed. And what we have been doing is pretty much growing vegetables in our backyard, and I'm sure pretty much everybody does anymore. And we've been donating to their household. Plus, at the food bank up here where I'm at, where I live, the northern part of the state, we try to do what we can by donating some of our grown goods and, you know, anything that has to do with to help people out. It's gotten to the point now, I think, reverted back about 100 years. I think a lot more people are sharing, and I have done this too. Again, I've shared meals with people. We've split the cost. Which is kind of affordable, and it's fun. It's kind of like if you've ever been on a cruise and you get to sit with all the different people there, you know, at a big table. It's like the same thing. You get to talk about all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, I enjoy it very much, and I think America's gotten back, again, some kind of semblance it was 100 years ago. But it's kind of sad that they had to come back to this point, but there is just an awful lot of people out of work. And we're trying to alleviate the problem, at least in our subdivision. I've got 90 homes. We're doing what we can. So, and I want to thank everybody at the food bank, wherever they're at. You know, it has been coming in up here. So I don't know how it is down there, but thank, you know, you people there for everything you do. Thanks. I'll get off and listen.
Okay. Thanks for the call this afternoon.
You know, that we appreciate that comment because in our particular case, we distributed over 700,000 pounds of fresh produce last year. 700,000 pounds. We got that through a cooperative effort with Newell Company here in the community who donate produce to us. But on the other hand, we pick up every week at the end of the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. We get donation. We have growers, the gardeners in the Master Gardener Program who plant a row for the hungry. All summer long, we're getting fresh vegetables. And throughout the year, then our connection with produce distributors helps us. That's the nutritionally dense food we were talking about. The gentleman, he's just right on the money.
Okay, let's take another call. A listener in Charleston on line one. Hi.
Hi. Just want you to have a heads up. Some of the people that run these things are living in $500,000 homes and taking the clothes or whatever. I just wonder if there's a watchdog for this.
Okay. Who wants to tackle that question? Scott?
Well, I know as Saltmine, we're a nonprofit, and we're governed by a board of directors. And the executive director, myself, and our other operations manager are given a salary based on what the board of directors say. So, you know, to make that kind of blanket statement about food pantry, people run food pantries, it's not true in Salt Light's case. And I'm sure any nonprofit, if they have a good governing board of directors, they're going to, you know, help out with that process of keeping it under control.
Yeah. Jim, can you fill us in here on your experience in terms of people in the not-for-profit sector are, I don't know.
I am confident that, as in any business, there are people you could look in and say, whoa, wait a minute. But, you know, we deal with 260 programs, and 95% of all of our programs are faith-based. Mm-hmm. 90% of them are volunteer-run. 90% of our pantries, soup kitchens, shelters are volunteer-run. So it's people who step up. Now, in defense of the caller, I've read material too, and there are agencies that have some international kinds of connection to hunger relief that have had some accusations thrown at them in recent months about how they've handled fundraising, that type of thing. But that occurs periodically in larger organizations as well. Since this is so grassroots, it's very, very difficult to point that direction.
Okay.
I understand.
And our, you know, just take it Salt Lake, for example. We have 3 full-time staff, and we are very heavily volunteer-driven. We do everything with 3 staff people. We feed 250 families a week, all this clothing with 3 staff. I think their annual budget altogether, everyone's staff, out salaries, building, heating, everything's under $200,000 a year. And so,
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Next, we take a call from a listener in Champaign on line 2. Hi.
Hello. A point and a question. It does seem like things have gotten better with the quality of food that is being distributed. I found myself to be a U of I student and a single parent and in need of help. I, at the time, was taking a nutrition class at the university, and at that time, the university nutrition class was stressing not using outdated food. And many of the food pantries were giving away outdated food, which I now understand some of that really is safe. But on the one hand, you had the nutritionists at the university stressing not to eat things past the expiration date, but yet they're being given away. And I just also wanted to mention that there is a local first call for help. They are a part of the Champaign County Family Service, and they are an excellent resource also. And I will say thank you very, very much for your program and listen off the air.
You're very welcome.
She is absolutely correct. The quality of the food has improved. It's improved dramatically, I think, Scott. You can probably attest to that. And I think that there's a lot of reasons for that. One is that we deal a lot less with salvage food than we used to because it's not available to us. Salvage, and there is some confusion around expiration dates, use-by dates and expiration dates. I always use the example of cereal. Cereal tends to never go bad. It gets awfully stale, but it never goes bad. Mm-hmm. My older brother used to pep it up by pouring soda pop on it, but that was a different matter.
Oh, that's really healthy. Okay.
But on other items, you'll see a use by date and a sell by date.
Or a best buy.
Or best buy. Yeah. Very few foods that we get have total expiration date because people would buy them, take them home, leave them on their shelf, and eventually eat those. We do work with our manufacturers that donate through us, and if there is an expiration date on a product, they will tell you what is the outer limit that you can keep that on your shelf, and we will dispose of that. But last year, we brought in 6.2 million pounds of food into the food bank, and we only had to destroy 68,000 pounds of that. That is, you know, less than 1%, or about 1%. That's a terrific number.
Yeah. Scott, the caller mentioned going to school, being a student at the U of I, and being a mom. Yep. And there is help on campus, is there not?
I believe so. I'm not familiar with the resources on campus.
I'm going to shout out to Harriet Williamson, hoping that she's standing by and listening, and she'll shoot me the resource that I'm trying to think of. But I think it's located in a campus ministry.
I'm sure it is.
Okay. So hopefully we'll get that information. In the meantime, I do want to remind people or say again that there are people in organizations that can help you get in touch with the people you need to get in touch with. And our partners this summer are some of those folks. First Call for Help Decatur, United Way of Danville, the caller mentioned Family Service of Champaign County, and the Community Service Center in Rantoul. They're great places to begin, and you'll find these agencies and others listed at our website, willconnect.org/economy. Will Connect, W-I-L-L, connect.org/economy. We've got, here it is. The answer is Wesley Foundation.
Okay.
And I knew that, but I just couldn't, it just wouldn't come up. Okay. We're drawn down on time here, and I thought we'd listen to another story. You know, when the recession slows and the economy rebounds, we can hope that the need will be reduced, but there's always going to be need, right?
Right.
So let's hear from a woman by the name of Joyce Cooley. She's a resident of Rantoul. She told Jim Meadows she's been coming to Salt and Light for the last few years now. And she said she struggles with medical bills. And the food she receives helps her stretch her Social Security check.
You mean how far will the food go? It'll probably last, me 2 weeks. And sometimes I go to the Community Service Center in Rantoul and they help me. You know, so this place is really nice. You know, you can get everything you need when you come here. And I really enjoy coming here because I have friends here that I see every week. But this has been a godsend. Yes, some of the people I talk to in here, they're really in bad shape, you know, with everything being so expensive anymore, you know. And I think a lot of the older people, as well as the young families, I think a lot of the older people need this place. This, like I said, this has been a godsend, you know, to all of us.
That's Joyce Cooley of Rantoul. So we hear lots of things there in that little story, don't we? Yeah. Anything you want to comment on, anything in particular? She's made friends there, too. It's a social connection.
It ends up,
well.
Yeah, a lot of people that come in. A lot of people that come in every week actually feel like it's a kind of a community. If you talk to our volunteers like Marie, and there's probably a core of 5 to 10 ladies that come in every week, and they feel like it's a community. And that's one thing, the service we provide is when people come in, they're going to get a smile. They're going to get someone to listen to. Sometimes people just want someone to listen to. And if they need prayer, but if they just want someone to listen to, we listen to them.
You know, the state's fiscal picture is pretty poor. Human services are being hit hard. What do you see out there on the horizon 3 months, 6 months from now? Do you, you know, even though we see signs on a big level, like way out there, that things might be turning around, still here at home, you know, in our neighborhoods and stuff, things aren't going to be right for a while, and we're going to continue to struggle, always struggle.
Right.
So, but given the state's fiscal picture, how has this impacted you folks?
Well, we're at Salt Night, we're seeing 50 more families a week than this time last year. So we're still seeing a slow increase of families per week. So that's impacting our resources and who we're able to help and things like that.
So maybe people, maybe the where people are going is shifting a little bit as human service providers have to pull back.
Well, I think the concern, one of the concerns is that when other human services are dropped or cut back on, it has a rippling effect through the entire human services community. The example I like use when Prairie Center looked like their funding was going to be cut, and they were going to really have to eliminate programs completely. All of us in the not-for-profit sector within the area go, whoa, because everybody would start seeing a hit on their organization. Mm-hmm. You'd see more people coming to pantries because individuals would have to start spending money out of pocket or to travel to find services. Medical increases, all this kind of stuff. I honestly don't believe we're going to see this thing turn around on our sector for a long, long time. I think we're going to get better at finding solutions and getting help from people like the gentleman that called and said, we're now a better community for it and we know how to do this. But I don't see it going down.
No, not for a while.
Yeah. Okay. There, we'll have to wrap it up. I want to thank our guests this afternoon, Jim Heyer, Scott Althoff, and Marie Brown. Thank you very much for coming in this afternoon. And I want to thank folks who are listening, and I want to thank the folks who called in as well. I want also to mention that next week we'll have special reports on Morning Edition and the Afternoon Magazine from Jim Meadows, Jeff Bossert, and Tom Rogers. David Inge and I will further the conversation on Focus 580 and the Afternoon Magazine. Coming up next week on the Afternoon Magazine, we'll have a couple of programs in connection with Will Connect. On Wednesday, we'll talk about debt. On Friday, we'll talk about looking for and landing a job. And there we have to leave it. And I want to thank the three of you again very much. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.